Especially because of what I felt was not only his influence, his importance in his time, where he was certainly important as a major posek, as the Rav of Prague, and Rav elsewhere, but especially his importance for later history, because of a number of things the Maharal did in terms of learning. For example, the Maharal emphasized Makor Pshat, a movement away from Pilpul, and especially a movement towards educational reform. The Maharal felt very strongly that there should be an emphasis on the Shnayas. People shouldn't start learning Gemara until later. And the Maharal was an important influence upon one of his Talmidim, who was Rabbi Yom Tov Lipman Heller, who was the author of the Tosfos Yom Tov, which was, in its time, one of the major Perushim on Mishnayos, and helped people learn Mishnayos without learning Gemara. About this time, of course, the Rabbi Avadya Batanura wrote his Perush on Mishnayos too. And those two Perushim, the Bartanura and the Tosfos Yom Tov, started people into learning Mishnayos as a limud, something which was not practiced from the time of the Gemara until this time. And the Maharal was an important influence behind this. But the Maharal's influence extended much beyond that. For one thing, the Maharal was influenced by Kabbalah very heavily. Although his works don't explicitly speak about Kabbalah, Maharal was one of the many people, Ramchal being another example, later example, of people who were able to take the teachings of the Kabbalah and express them in a language that was not truly Kabbalah. The Maharal's influence upon later Gedolim movements is extremely important. Because as we'll go into more detail as we go into later times of history, Maharal was an extremely important influence upon Hasidus, or early Hasidus and 20th century Hasidus. Number one, Maharal was a very important influence on Chabad, and Maharal was an extremely important influence on Polish Hasidus that becomes so popular in our time, Sfas Emes, etc., which we'll talk about later. And the Maharal also became an influence upon contemporary Machshava in the more yeshivish world. And he did that mainly through his influence upon Rav Kook, upon Rav Dessler, and upon Rav Hutner. All of those details about this will Mit Hashem go into when we get into later history. But the Maharal's influence is extremely powerful. And that's why I wanted to mention him. I also mentioned the Golem legends, which some of you here pointed out to me, and I subsequently checked out some of the references, that research nowadays is showing that the Golem, I mentioned that the Golem legends sprung up maybe 100 years after the Maharal. In the Maharal's time, and even for several generations afterwards, there was no evidence of it. And I stand corrected, because the new research is showing that the legends about the Golem cropped up 200 and more years after the Maharal died, way into the almost recent times. So that the Golem legends were very beautiful stories and beautiful legends, but connecting them to the Maharal is without any really firm historical basis. There's no evidence in the writings of his time or of his descendants or his students and into many generations afterwards of anything to do with a Golem. It has always struck me as strange that the Maharal, whose writings are the most rational, clear, pshat-oriented writings of anybody of his time, should be associated in the imagination of people to building a Golem, etc. So I wanted to mention that about the historicity of the Golem legends, and that a lot of research is showing now that they're very without historical foundation. I mentioned that the journal called Moria, which is published by Machon Yerushalayim, in a relatively recent issue, I don't have the exact issue, but within the past 5 or 6 years, has a very extensive series of articles showing that the Maharal's Golem legend is a legend. Incidentally, those articles also show that some of the works that are attributed to the Maharal nowadays really aren't the Maharal's. One of them being the Haggadah Shel Pesach, which is sold all the time as being the Maharal's, is really not written by the Maharal. It's put together, pieced together from his other writings by somebody in the beginning of the 20th century who wanted to make a good $2 on Erev Pesach by selling the Maharal's Haggadah. It's taken from his thoughts, but it's woven together in such a way that it's not. In other words, if a person would say, as you find some Haggadahs nowadays of other people, the Haggadah of the Chassam Sofer doesn't necessarily mean the Chassam Sofer wrote a pirush on the Haggadah, but someone took something from the Chassam Sofer's works elsewhere and put them where they belonged in the Haggadah and came out with it and said he's doing that. I mean, that's fine. It's not a forgery. That's an anthology. But in the case of the Maharal, they did more than just that. They took pieces of it that were his, with pieces that someone else made up, and made a Haggadah out of it. At least this is the theory of this article in the journal called Maria. In the edition that I have of Haggadah Shel Pesach of the Maharal, you have quotes from the Gvuras Hashem, which is the Maharal's work, right next to his supposed pirush on the Haggadah, and when you compare the two, you see very quickly that one's the Maharal and one is somebody who's far from the Maharal. I want to move today into a couple of things. I want to move into the middle of the 1600s, but also, because I might forget to share this with you later, so I'll share something with you that I came across this past week, which has to do with the whole subject of Jewish history. The Sefer coming out soon, which will be the new edition of the Meiri's Perush on Pirkei Avos. Meiri, of course, lived before the period of time that we're looking at in our course. But the Meiri's has a hakdama to this parish in Pirkei Avos, which is a, what you might call a historical hakdama, where he surveys the history of Torah Shebaal Peh, of course, from Moshe Rabbeinu through the Chazal, down to his own time. And it's an especially interesting hakdama because of the light that it sheds on the history of the Rishonim, which of course is not this course. But in the hakdama to this hakdama, all right, Rav Avraham Shoshana Shlita, who is a publisher of Svarim, he's actually on the staff of the Tel Aviv Yeshiva in Cleveland, and he's published a number of Svarim for manuscripts, an expert on Kisvei Yad. So he has written a hakdama to the Meiri's hakdama to Pirkei Avos, and it's not published yet, but he made available to me his the proofs of this of his work. And in his work, he does a very interesting survey about the attitude of 20th century Gedolim to the study of Jewish history. So I thought that I'd share with you something that he quotes from Reb Chaim Ozer. He has a quote from Reb Chaim Ozer Grodzensky, who we will talk about his role, who's an important historical figure in the time that we're discussing in pre-World War II. But Reb Chaim Ozer, as you know, I'm sure, was the Gadol Hador in the 1920s, 1930s. He wrote in a haskama that he gave to a sefer called Dor Yeshorim. A bit later on, we get into the 1800s. I'm going to be discussing the number of works which were written in the 1800s, which were very controversial because they downplay the emphasis of the importance of Torah Shebaal Peh. Of course, as we will go into detail, in the 1800s, with the movement of reform and associated movements, there were all sorts of attempts to try to play down Chazal. and that would be give strength to the Reform movement. One such work was written by a man named Avraham Hirsch Weiss, who wrote a many-volume sefer called Dor Dor V'Dorsho. And this sefer advanced many theories trying to show that Chazal were mistaken, and a lot of what Chazal said doesn't have to be taken as being very important. It's a very sefer that did a lot of very, what should we say, nasty damage. In the early 1900s, exactly in 1908, someone named Rabbi Yehuda Lipschitz, I don't know much about him, but Rabbi Yehuda Lipschitz wrote a sefer called Dor Yeshorim, in which he tries to refute and disprove this Weiss's work. And to make sure that his sefer got the support of the authentic Gedolei Torah of his time, he got a haskama from a number of Gedolim. One of them was from Rav Chaim Ozer. So Rav Chaim Ozer writes a haskama to this work. And then, in that haskama, he writes several paragraphs about the attitude that he has, that the Gedolei HaTorah, Me'azu Me'olam, as he writes, had toward history, Jewish history, with the study of Jewish history. Not toward Jewish history, I mean, it can't be against Jewish history, but against the study of Jewish history. I thought I'd share with you what he wrote. Gedolei HaTorah, Me'azu Me'olam, Lo samu libam la'amik b'yediyas divrei hayomim l'vnei Yisrael. The authentic Gedolei Torah from all the way back didn't pay much attention to a really deep study of Jewish history. Certainly, they didn't write Jewish history. Afki lichtov b'sefer toldos Gedolei v'chachmei Yisrael midor dor. They didn't pay attention to it, and they didn't certainly write much about it. Divrei Rabboseinu Harishonim V'Ho'achronim Halochayim V'Kayomim B'Pios Tofsei HaTorah. The words of Rabboseinu, the Rishonim and the Achronim, are alive and well in the mouths of all those who study Torah. Kol Botei HaMedrash Meleim Mizan El Zan Me Rabbonon V'Talmideihom. Every base medrash, all the Botei Medrashim are full from wall to wall with Rabbonim and their students. Halomdim Torah Chayim Ki'ilu Ne'emru V'Nishnu Hayom, who study a living Torah as if it was written and recorded today. V'ein Nafshos L'Tzadikim. We don't have to make memorials for our Tzadikim. Shedivrehem Heim Zichronam, because their words are their memorials. In other words, what he's saying is, you go into any base medrash that's really an active base medrash, they quote all the Gedolim, Rishonim, Achronim, as if they were right there. I mean, Yoshua, Rashba, you throw it around.